The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 11, selected verses. Love the Lord your God and always carry out his requirements, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. Know this today. I am not addressing your children who have not known and seen all these things, the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his strong hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his deeds that he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and against all his land, what he did to the army of Egypt and its horses and chariots, how he caused the water of the Red Sea to flow over their heads when they pursued you, how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, what he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households, their tents, and every living thing that was at their feet in the middle of all Israel. Know today, it is your own eyes that have seen every deed that the Lord your God performed. Be careful, or your heart will be deceived, and you will turn away and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will close up the heavens. There will be no rain, the ground will not produce crops, and you will perish quickly from the good land that your Lord is giving you. Put these words of mine in your hearts and in your soul, and tie them on your wrists as signs and as symbols on your forehead. Teach them to your children by talking about them when you sit in your house and when you travel on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many, on the land that the Lord promised to your fathers with an oath, as many as the days that the heavens remain over the earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, help us tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Amen. One of the privileges you earn when you have a few more years under your belt is you can say things like, when I was your age. Maybe you see one of those young kids texting all day, and you can say something like, when I was your age, we had to send letters, and we had to lick the stamp and the envelope. Whoa. Of course, the normal one is about school. And kids complaining that they didn't get a snow day. And you get to say, when I was your age, I had to walk 40 miles to school in 10 feet of snow. Uphill. Both ways. The more ridiculous, the better. The weird thing about phrases like this is, at the same time, it makes those days seem like the good old days, while also making it seem harder than anything this generation has to go through. I think Weird Al Yankovic captures it well in his song, When I Was Your Age. He says this, "Let me tell you something, you whiny little snot. There's something wrong with all you kids today. You just don't appreciate all the things you got. We were hungry, broke, and miserable, and we liked it fine that way." This kind of shaking your head at the next generation is nothing new. And it's also something that can happen in the church. It's easy to feel this way. At a place like St. Paul's, we can say things like, when I was your age, we had 200 kids in school. When I was your age, we had to put chairs in the pews for big services. You can look at statistics about the current generation or the upcoming generations and see that way less of them go to church or way less of them believe in God, things like that, and you shake your head and you think, ah, this next generation. It probably would have been a big temptation for the people in Deuteronomy chapter 11 to do that right at the first verse. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Love the Lord your God and always carry out his requirements, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments." And you can almost see the older generation shaking their head. Yeah, you hear that, kids? Love the Lord your God and all of his requirements. When I was your age, I had to keep all of God's commandments. But then God does something that confronts them. What does he say right after that? He knows this is coming. And so he says this. Know this today. I am not addressing your children who have not known and seen all these things. In other words, I'm talking to you. And who is he talking to? It's a generation in the Old Testament that maybe could be seen as the greatest generation. This group. This is the group of people who could tell you, when I was your age, I had to walk through the Red Sea to get to school. This was the generation that was 20 years and younger when they came out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea. The generation before them, they had to die in the wilderness, 40 years of wandering because they rebelled against God at the border of the Promised Land. But now here was the new greatest generation. Not only had they seen all the miracles in Egypt, they could say, what are you complaining about? When I was your age, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face because of a plague of gnats. They could say things like that, and at the same time, they had made it through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and they were going to get to go in to the Promised Land. Truly the greatest generation. And so God addresses them and says, don't complain about the young people these days. What have you seen? What can you pass on? He says to this generation, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and I'm talking to you because you've seen these amazing things. And then he goes through this incredible list. He says, you've seen the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his strong hand, his outstretched arm, his deeds, and his signs that he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and against all his land, what he did to the army of Egypt and its horses and chariots. How he caused the water to flow over their heads when they pursued you. How the Lord destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place. What he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben. How the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households, their tents, and every living thing that was at their feet in the middle of all Israel. Know today, it is your own eyes that have seen every deed that the Lord your God performed. Can you imagine sitting at their feet as they told stories like this? They'd have an answer to everything. They'd say, man, when I was young, it was rough at St. Paul's. Mr. Stint would whack you with the Board of Education. Now that's discipline. And they could say, when I was your age, the Lord disciplined us. He sent poisonous snakes against us when we rebelled and grumbled against him. I can still show you the snake bite. This is where it bit me. And we were all going to die until he said, believe my promises. I'm going to lift up a bronze snake on a pole, and if you look to it, you will live. And we looked and we lived. We learned from the discipline of the Lord to believe in the Lord and his promises in the Messiah. If you're ever worried about being provided for, if you're going to have enough, you're running out of money, they could say things like, when I was your age, we went to bed every night with nothing. We weren't allowed to have leftovers. And we had to trust that when we woke up in the morning, we'd have food. And every day for 40 years, God gave us today our daily bread, just enough. And we learned to trust the Lord. Having car trouble? When I was your age, you were lucky to have a chariot. In fact, we had an army of chariots chasing us from Egypt. And talk about car problems. God struck them and all their wheels fell off and they couldn't even steer. Worried about Russia? North Korea? When I was your age, Egypt was the superpower of the world. And they came after us with their entire army. And God took water and he destroyed them all. And they still have no power to this day. Worried about the young people being disrespectful these days? When I was your age, there were people like Dathan and Abiram. They were mad at Moses. Who put you in charge? They were mad at God for putting them in charge. And you know what God did? He said, stand here, right in the middle of all the people. Heard of an earthquake? The earth opened up like a shark and devoured them and their households. Every little thing, even the little bugs, couldn't escape. Nyum! We learned to respect the Lord when I was your age. These are the kind of stories that could be passed on to the next generation, to be made their own in each generation. That was their job. And God knew that they would be tempted not to do it. If I can summarize verses 16 through 21, just for the sake of time, what does God say? He talks to this generation, the generation who saw all these things, and he says, guard yourselves. Don't blame them. Guard yourselves. Watch your heart, or you'll be deceived. In other words, you're going to think, these are the good old days, and it's always going to be this way, and I don't have to do anything. I can just rest on my laurels. I don't need to pass these things on. I don't need to work hard to raise the next generation to know these things that we saw. God said, watch yourselves. Do whatever you can to watch yourselves so that your children can have the good old days, so that they can be blessed. But what happened? You see it all over the Old Testament. This was God's rule, the old covenant. Do these things, hold on to my commands, pass them on to the next generation, and you will be blessed. This is the agreement. Choose life. This is fair. But what do we read just a couple years later, just a couple chapters later in the Bible, in Judges chapter 2? After that whole generation, that greatest generation, had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord or the deeds he had done for Israel. The people of Israel then committed evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. What happened? One generation. The next generation arose, and they did not know the Lord, and they did not know the deeds he had done. Why? And of course, the Bible holds each individual accountable before God. The Bible holds each generation accountable before God. But in this text, what is it saying to us? Why didn't the next generation know the Lord? Because the previous generation didn't pass it on. And what happened? Devastation, idolatry, death. When I was your age, we forgot to pass on the words of the Lord. It's easy for us to blame other people, really, for anything. And when it comes to passing on God's word to the next generation, it's easy for us to blame others, to blame the upcoming generation. But what does God say to us today? Know this today. I am not addressing your children who have not known and seen all these things. I'm talking to you. Guard yourselves, he says. Guard your heart and your soul. Hold on to these things. Pass them on. What do we pass on? Well, we're not different than God's Old Testament people, are we? Their story is our story. And what do we often pass on? I've got four little kids, and I see already the things that I pass on, the things that I'm not supposed to do, and then they start doing. It can be harmless things, like leaving tons of socks by the door. I was just talking about it yesterday. Obi, why do you leave so many socks by the door? Oh, that's right, because I leave my socks by... Stop doing that. Stop passing these things on. But more than that, what do you pass on? At the very least, as a parent, you pass on original sin. This corruption that leads to things like this. And what else do you pass on? Actual sins, sins that you do, or good things that you haven't been doing. Where did the next generation learn it from? Where did they get it from? So we can feel ashamed. And there's a good amount of shame that leads us to repentance when we think about the bad things we've passed on, the good we've failed to pass on. But that is part of the story we get to tell. It was for the Old Testament people, and it is for us too. And don't let it stop you from sharing the story now. There's a World War II veteran, there's not that many of them left, named Harold Williams. And for the longest time, he would not tell his story. He was a soldier who was at the Battle of the Bulge, one of the biggest battles in World War II. Almost 20,000 Americans died. And for the longest time, he wouldn't tell anyone about his experience in the war because he had survivor's guilt. All of his friends died. He would say, "I can't sleep at night. All my friends died, and I escaped with just a broken finger." He was ashamed. But now he's not letting that stop him from telling his story anymore. Why? Because he's honored that those people gave their lives so he could live. That he can share a story, not about what a hero he was, but what a hero other people were. That's the story he gets to pass on. And that's the story we pass on too. When we pass things on to the next generation, we're not saying, "Those were the good old days because I was so good." We're saying, "Those were the good old days because God was so good and gracious to me." When we have that shame at what we have passed on or failed to pass on, God doesn't open up the earth to swallow us up, because Jesus died for us. He died so we could live and tell the story not of how wonderful we are, but of how he honored us by giving us this story. "I should have died, but Jesus died for me. I'm alive. And oh, the things I have survived because God is so gracious." It's the story of the Old Testament as God again and again showed grace to people who didn't earn it and didn't deserve it, and it's our story today. And man, the stories you can tell. These stories are yours, the stories of the Bible. If you're part of God's people, you can say it too. "Man, I remember when I escaped through the Red Sea." Amazing. But you can still tell stories of God's grace in your life too. You could see a kid misbehaving, and you could say, "When I was your age, I was a little devil. Really, I was born that way. And yet God freed me. He freed me from the devil, so much stronger than Pharaoh. He freed me from death. He freed me from sin by bringing me through the waters, not of the Red Sea, but through holy baptism. He freed me from those things. And you know what? The devil and sin and death, they have no power over me still to this day." When people are worried about whether they'll have enough, whether the Lord will provide, you could say, "When I was your age, God gave me today my daily bread, and he still has every day to this day. What are you worried about?" You could see people being disrespectful, and you could say, "Yeah, when I was your age, there were people like Dathan and Abiram, to people who disrespected the pastors or disrespected God. And God didn't swallow us up. He confronted us with the law, and we were led to repent, and we were forgiven. When I was your age, God showed me grace, and he'll show that same grace to you." That's what you get to pass on. These are the stories. And God says you can pass them on however you can. That's really what verses 16 to 21 were about. It said, "Parents, whatever you can do this, whatever you can do to pass this on, God's people, whatever you can do to pass this on, do it. Think about God's word when you wake up and when you lie down, when you're walking and when you're sitting. Tie it to your wrist if you have to. Tie it to your forehead. Or maybe for you it'll be, put an alert in your phone 12 o'clock every day that says, pray and read a Bible passage. Oh yes, remind yourself, take your Bible, dust it off, put it somewhere where you're going to trip over it if you don't pick it up and read a little bit. Maybe it says, I am going to scrape a little bit in my budget so that I can support this Christian school so I can pass these truths on to the next generation. I'm going to make sure today, starting today, at the very least today, to proclaim God's word together with other believers in church. I'm going to do that, to pass it on however I can to the next generation so that they can say what I can say, what you can say, what every generation can say. When I was your age, God showed grace to the previous generation. And by that grace, they shared Jesus with me, the marvelous deeds of the Lord. And now I'm sharing that with you. Because with God, it's not just the good old days. Well, it's good days. Good days of God's grace. Now, today, and for our children. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.